What's up, everyone? We are back for the Language and Behavior Podcast, and we're also going live both on YouTube and LinkedIn. So if you are checking us out, maybe it's the first time, or maybe this is multiple times for yourself, feel free to jump in the comment section, add a question or a comment, or even just say hello. We'd love to see who is out there as we are winding down our week. Just for those who are usually taking us in on a podcast platform, just know that on Tuesdays, this is when it's going to drop, but you're getting a sneak peek before we, you know, go through, make the edits and post it online. So you're getting the live look as myself and Charlie may, you know, say something crazy. I doubt that, but that is always a possibility when going live. So Charlie, it's so great to see you once again this week.
You too. It's Friday. It's so weird. I mean, I'm so excited about the upcoming Nashville trip I have. I'm going to the Innovative School Summit for school counselors. I cannot wait. So I'm just so eager. And then 2 weeks from now, we are going to meet up in California. So I'm just excited. It's just like there's a lot of energy. So it's so nice to see you too.
Summer just goes by so quickly. And weird. I cannot believe that we're going to be in California so soon. And yeah, I've got a couple trips out there speaking. I know you got a lot going on. Also, was it yesterday that I saw you were on a conference?
Yes, it seems so long ago. But yes, for the Thrive Conference, it was amazing. It was the first time I had ever done that. And these ladies, they really know how to put it together. I think they do it quarterly, at least quarterly, if not more. And they just have such a like wealth of knowledge coming in from all of these various experts and leaders. It's just so nice. So yeah. I hope people look that up because it's great, great resources there.
For sure. I also want to highlight that I saw that we had a podcast come out. The Authority Podcast had us as guests. And honestly, I was looking at the question that we're going to touch on this week and kind of falls in line with that podcast. I started to listen back to it because, you know, like most podcasts, you get on there, you record, and then maybe a month or two later, it drops for everyone to listen. So sometimes I forget what we even said. And I will say, Charlie, as I was listening, I was like, I am so blessed to be with a brilliant co-author, Charlie Peck, because you were killing it on that podcast. So everyone that's listening, go check that out. Charlie was amazing. And I love the idea that Ross was kind of pushing us specifically with school discipline. And I know he was in line with our thinking, our book, and the work that we do. But I always love when people are kind of pushing back a little bit.
Yeah. I agree. I really do. And that was really kind of you to say. I mean, I do think we work really well together. I think that, and we push each other, which is really nice, but I think it's just a good compliment. So when we get to go together and have these discussions with other people, it's just so nice. It's so nice to hear that feedback from others too, when they've listened to it and they're like, you know, I took that strategy. And they often do say strategies that you've given, like that push-in model. I keep hearing it over and over. Like there's just so much we can do together that's just more powerful. I love it.
For sure. Okay, let's jump into the conversation with the question, the listener question. And this is kind of pushing back a little bit, just in the way, and it's very short, it's very sweet. And the question is, why not use ISS or OSS? And Charlie, I know in my background, 20 plus years in education, this comes up all the time when we're working with schools, when we're working with educators, even at conferences, when we're presenting, there's always questions about like, well, I kind of understand what you're talking about, but they still kind of hold on to their beliefs and their experiences and why they think it should still exist. So with this question, why not use ISS or OSS? What are some things that come to mind for you?
Well, I always think you could. Like you could use it. You absolutely can do whatever the heck you want. But if you want results, you'll already notice that it's just not working. And so why keep doing the things over and over that just aren't working? Now, I want to say this too, because again, as a former teacher, I remember needing kind of some kind of respite, right? Like I felt like with some students, there was a time where I'm like, how could this kid possibly be sent right back to my classroom? So I do think we need to address that a little bit. But overall, if we're looking at behavior change and guiding kids through life and setting up positive school climates, just using that without a lot more intentionality behind it, it's just not working. What do you think?
I was actually thinking about Josh Tover, who we were just talking with on his podcast. We were on the PGP podcast, and they were talking through kind of what new administrators shouldn't do. And he was very direct about like, don't have a kid that comes to the front office. Don't just like spend 5 minutes with them and send them right back to class. Like regardless, like obviously that teacher needs something. Most likely what you were talking about, Charlie, is a break. But I'm with you in the sense that like, if you look at ISS as a whole and that what it typically looks like, and I know this looks different on every campus, but most campuses that I've visited, and I've visited probably hundreds at this point, that they all look very much the same. And so if the model is replicated, then the results are going to be replicated. And that's kind of what you're talking about. And so for myself, like, I didn't want ISS to be a space that was our rows of desks that are uncomfortable. They're supposed to be there for 8 hours and they don't get to talk. They don't get to do anything but the work that they're supposed to do. You can't put your head down. And there's some other like very archaic things that still occur in ISS as far as like writing sentences and whatnot. But then you also flip it and talk about OSS. Well, I have no control over that student. I have no control over that environment. I have no control over anything that's going to occur as far as that teach piece that we talk about so often. Yeah. They're in my campus, then I have control over that situation. If I send them out into the world in the community, I'm just hoping and praying that they have some guidance out there. But as we know, like, our parents are busy. Our parents are working. Some of them have multiple jobs. Sometimes it's a single parent. And so, you know, maybe they don't have the same support system of other families. There's so many different situations. So for myself, I really tried my very best to not send anyone out of school suspension if I absolutely could. Now, sometimes the district comes in and says you have to do it. And
that's right.
You got to abide by those procedures if that's dictated for you. However, if I had control of it, I really tried to take that off the table.
Hmm. When does it make sense, like in your experience? Because this is definitely more something you dealt with.
Yeah. So you're talking about a really, really intense situation, right? So, you know, if it's something where maybe police are involved, maybe there was an assault, maybe it was something like that where it was pretty egregious as far as the action of the student, maybe it's drugs, you know, something that's really, really high level. That's when typically when the district would come in and be like, this is something where the kid needs to be off for this many days. We also need to have another meeting about placement. Are they going to special programs? Is this a situation where they're going to get arrested? And now it's going to be, you know, them in a court situation. Or maybe it's a threat. You know, a student made some egregious threat about bringing a gun to school. Or a lot of times a situation like that, too. It's not just affecting that child and the other kid, but then there's rumors and it starts to spread. And now parents come to the front office and taking their kids out. And now I've got reporters, you know, across the street waiting to talk with someone about what event just occurred. So some things get grander than the action. And so then it also gives some time and space for the campus and the district to really create a plan of like, what are we going to do? And it's more like triage at that point, because it's such an extreme event.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too, is oftentimes those are like, we're looking at patterns of behavior. We're looking at the majority, and there are definitely those complex issues in those kids. Cause when you're sending them home, I mean, oftentimes the trouble started there. I'm not saying always, but oftentimes the trouble starts there. And I'm not saying it's a parenting problem. I'm saying there's a systemic problem that's contributing, or something's going on that they haven't gotten the proper guidance for. Again, not because the parent did something wrong, but because just there's so many things that can go wrong. And so sending them back to an environment, it's just not helpful. And I feel like parents just get so upset, which I don't blame them. Listen, I have three boys. I've gone through a lot of things. We could do a whole episode on all the stuff I've failed at and been involved in with my own kids.
But been there, done that.
Oh gosh, right? Gosh, I don't even get me started. There's so much guilt. It's so hard being a parent. I'm a much better therapist and teacher than I ever will be a parent, because I just, it's too hard. It hurts. It hurts my feelings. It's so painful. So again, the message I want is that we need to just work together so that nobody feels like this is your fault, you deal with it. And so when I say we're sending them back there, it's because we're kind of pushing them off. And we're like, you fix them and then send them back to school, which that's controversial, because a lot of people believe that. A lot of people believe that it's not our job. But you and I both wrote a book about this. And the very first thing we said is, it's all of our jobs. If we are all working with kids, it's all of our jobs to help guide these children through life. I always believe it. I think you walk down the street and it's our job, if you see a child, to make eye contact with them and smile. Make people feel wanted. I had a teacher, this is now a tangent, and you're going to just have to hear one more thing.
Go for it.
There was an amazing teacher, Tom, and I used to work with him, Tom McMahon, and he was amazing. We lost him actually to cancer while I was still teaching at Governor Simcoe High School in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. And I learned so much from him. One of the thing that sticks out with me the most is he used to walk down the hall and look at kids and make sure he said hi to them, and he would make eye contact. And I'm like, what are you doing that for? And he said, because I might be the only one paying attention to that day, to that kid that day, or ever. Like, I might be the only person who has acknowledged their existence. And you and I both know how powerful that can be over time. And those kids want to come to our building. So yeah. ISS, OSS, we don't want to send them off because they're already experiencing that. They already think those thoughts about themselves as kids who need to be cast aside, typically, not always. But so I just think we all have a job to do. So I want to hear your thoughts here because I just went on a tangent.
I love your tangents. They're brilliant, Charlie. So I was just thinking, like, ISS, I do think there is a space for it. I understand the OSS, especially for extreme situations and actions. But I think what happens, and I think a lot of school data, if you're looking at student referrals and the consequences that are associated with that, is one that I think tilts to low-level infractions. And I think that's where we get in trouble. I think that's where we create a really disruptive culture in not only learning, but then also with our relationships with our students. And they don't feel wanted. There is a lot of animosity there. And I think there's just a lot of broken relationships that haven't ever been repaired due to it. And I get that adults, I felt this as a teacher too. So I don't want folks to think like, oh, he's just, you know, on the dark side of admin. But like, I did need a break from a kid before, but I also understood that there were other ways to go about it, right? I could ask my neighbor teacher and just be like, hey, I just need like 10 minutes. Can this kid chill with you for that time? He's got his work. He knows what he's doing. Can he just like be with you for a little bit of time? It gave me a short break. And shoot, like we were talking about parenting, Charlie. Sometimes I tag out with my wife.
Yes.
I'm done. Like if I remain in this situation, I'm going to make it 1,000 times worse. So will you please take over, right? And as teachers, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's best for everybody involved in the situation. And it's just a matter of like repairing that relationship when everyone's calmed down, to be able to come in with a clear mind and be able to decide what's the appropriate consequence for the action instead of just kicking them out and send them to another room, you know, in ISS. And so I think when we're talking, it's mostly like low-level infraction pieces that are building up over time, over that school year, to really create something that's far more negative than it is positive, which we all know is going to affect learning in a very bad, bad way.
Yeah. I mean, the brain, when it's under stress, it's not learning from punitive measures. It's just not. And there's so much going on with that prefrontal cortex when that shuts down. They're just learning to be dysregulated in this space. And or maybe they're just naturally dysregulated and not learning how to get regulated to want to show up there. I mean, to me, that reinforces the feelings of rejection sometimes when it's chronic, right? Once in a while, it can be effective. Like you might have a kid who did something that's out of line. They're a good kid. They're all good kids. I'm telling you. I mean, yeah, we can do studies on that. It's a very tiny, tiny, tiny percentage when something's wrong. And even then, that just may not be the right place for that kid, but doesn't mean they're a bad kid. But I mean, there could be really good kids who make really stupid mistakes. And going to ISS for a day might really shake them of never doing anything like that again. I've seen that happen. Again, I don't know that's even the right spot for them, but it just
going to the front office sometimes is enough.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe that's better to say it like that.
In that setting, it's just like kids are crying, they're bawling, I'll never do it again. You know,
I know.
And it's true. I never saw them again.
It is because it's so scary to them. And they're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got sent there. I will also say too, some of the kids who are those really good natured kids, I'm thinking of scenarios in my head, but have been pushed to do something because nobody stepped in for them. And they reached a point of just utter despair.
Yeah.
And said something and it changed the trajectory of the rest of their high school career and potential issues. We wrote about it in our book, actually. We didn't make it about the kid that I'm thinking about, but we kind of went about it. It did. It affects scholarships. It affects opportunities. And then their esteem that year, they were like, some kids get like very suicidal. It changes the trajectory if we target the wrong kid for the wrong reason and don't like, so there's like policies. Got to look at those sometimes. Got to look at those. Yeah. It breaks my heart.
It does break my heart too. All right. I'm going to flip it and we're going to do behind the banter.
Okay.
This will be the third time we've done it. I think I have a question that you're going to appreciate. We'll see. All right. So this one is specifically for you, Charlie, because I always love getting reactions from you. Which part of the language of behavior do you think students would appreciate the most if they read it?
Oh my gosh, easily. This is the sensory stuff, right? The sensory surges and the calm corners. When we created that, consider the environment. Oh, I think that they would definitely love that. I think they would love the tool that we have to be able to look and say, oh yeah, this drives me nuts. Oh no, this is soothing. Keep this. I think they'd love to have that personal piece invested.
For sure.
What about you?
Well, I think part of the conversation today, I think people have been sent to ISS for really crazy and weird reasons. And they don't understand like why they don't agree with it. It was unnecessary. I think just like the first part of the book, I think a lot of them would probably be shaking their heads with the data that's supporting that and just understanding like that's just a broken system that really doesn't do anything. I think our kids know that. And if you ask them, they'll be the first to tell you. Now, some try to use it as a get a class card for those who don't want to be in school. But most children, there's a disconnect as to why it even exists. And I think they understand that. So I think a lot of them would probably shake their heads with some of that pieces at the beginning of our book specifically.
I love that. You're always looking out for kids. You are. I love it. It's so nice to hear you talk about that.
Oh, I miss it sometimes. Those really deep conversations as an administrator and uncovering some stuff in middle school, you see such growth, such a fast time of them coming in looking like an elementary kid and then them leaving to go to high school. And they're so different. And there's just so much growth. I just love that age so much. So anyways, I could talk about that forever. So with that, I'm going to throw up some banners for everyone because I want to make sure that everyone is, you know, diving into all the wonderful resources on our websites. So of course, Charlie is thrivingeducator.org. So make sure that you're heading over there. You can also head over to joshchamber.com/the language of behavior. Of course, on both of ours, we've got blogs, newsletters, our podcasts. We've got all kinds of different things for you as regards to resources. We continuously try to get questions from all over, from meetings, from conferences, but also from you, the listeners. So if you want to jump into the bit.ly, it's bit.ly/LOB questions. It's super simple. It's just asking for your feedback in regards to a question for future episodes. Of course, we want to make sure that we've got an opportunity to speak into your life, into your classroom, campus, district, whatever's going on, because we want to make sure that we provide as much content resources for you. Charlie, do you have any closing words for us today?
Yeah, I do. Let's just try to change it up a little bit. Just try like a new method, like the check-in, check-out process before we try to send a kid out. Let's just try to get the behavior before it starts or just make a connection and check in, check out, see how that goes for a week, and then take another step up.
Yeah, for sure. And we're always looking to change that environment. So Charlie and I have various models too that we can help you with. So make sure that you're reaching out if that's something that you're interested in the following school year. I also want to make sure that the book study kit is here for you. It's free. So you can download it. I know, Charlie, that we've seen a ton of schools already starting to get that book study going, preparing for the new year as they're looking for additional strategies for their classroom and for their campus. So super exciting.
Yeah, it is. And also like Jonathan Cranford, we've talked about him before. He's got a great book called The Art of ISS. So yes. If kiddos are there, because sometimes it does serve a purpose, he is a really good resource for you to help how you're going to set that up.
Yeah, he's a great guy. So definitely check that resource out. And with that, we will see you again next week. So thank you so much, Charlie.
Bye.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.